Oh, there we go. Look at that. You wait just long enough and the light begins to come into our lives. The Gospel of John, about the light coming into the world towards the end, in the 14th chapter, beginning in the 25th verse. Jesus said to His disciples, "I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard Me say to you, 'I am going away, and I am coming to you.' If you loved Me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over Me, but I do as the Father has commanded Me, so that the Father may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way." It has always struck me as almost odd that the second Sunday of Advent, which traditionally is the Sunday that we think about peace, is also so very close to the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And if you've been following the news, you will be reminded that this is the 60th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And it was a day that, as our president at the time said, will live in infamy. But it is also a reminder to us, if we think about the way the world has unfolded since then, that those who have been enemies do not have to remain enemies for all time. For now we have close ties with the Japanese people. There are many Japanese businessmen and others who live in our community that, as you move around our town, especially around Dublin, you will see quite often. So there is always hope that that which has been fractured can be put back together. But peace, the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about in the Gospel of John, is not simply about the kind of peace that comes when we try to resolve major conflicts around the world. It's not simply the kind of peace that we have to have after armed disagreements between nations, but rather it is something that is essential to who we are. Because if we do not have peace in our lives, then there will be a constant moving to and fro and looking for things to fill what is an emptiness in our life. For peace, in the sense of the word used in the New Testament as well as the shalom of the Old Testament, is not simply the absence of conflict, but it is everything that works together in harmony. Now, there are many different things that cause us not to have peace, and the first one of those that is all the way through the Scripture presented is fear. Because there are many things in life that we are afraid of. We're afraid that relationships we're in might break down. We are afraid that we might lose a sense of financial security in a world that pretty much operates based on who's got money to buy the things that they need. I'm always interested when I hear stories, as everybody of my generation does from our parents, about how things were during the Depression. But there was always food to eat because there was somebody close by who was growing food. Unless you want to go back and eat soybeans on a regular basis, there's not a lot of food grown around us. The cows eat all the dried corn that seems like it ought to be taken in already. So pretty much if you don't have money, you don't have food to eat. If you don't have money, you don't have a shelter over your head. If you don't have money, you don't have a way to get by in the world. And so that's a legitimate fear that people have. And many people in our country in the last couple of years have found themselves unemployed and seemingly unable to find work and having to depend on others or depend on credit, which eventually runs out. But the biggest fear that we face, and the fear that Jesus is talking to the disciples about, is the loss of life itself. For the disciples have finally come to understand that Jesus is saying that as they go to Jerusalem, He's going to give up His life for them. Now, they don't understand fully what that means, but they are afraid. They are afraid of what it means to face life without Him. They're afraid of what it means to go forward. They're afraid that that person that they had put their hope in is going to leave them without hope. But Jesus says to them that indeed it's actually going to be good for you to go because I'm going to leave you peace. One of the things that I have experienced in pastoral ministry that I don't imagine that I ever really gave much thought to before I was called into the ministry has been the experience of walking with people as they walk toward death. And I've had lots of different kinds of experiences there. And sometimes it's been people who have been at peace, and sometimes it's been with people that you didn't really know if they were at peace or not because they really didn't want to talk about what was going on. But I can tell you that when you have opportunity to talk to somebody who's facing death with a sense of certainty and they have peace, it is a powerful affirmation of the power of God to give us hope in the face of darkness. Most of you remember when Jim Van Bremmer was facing death that he was continuing to undergo radiation treatment out close to the airport. And some of you were privileged to be able to take Jim out there on those trips and wait for the fairly short amount of time that it was. And I also got to do that. I had one day a week for about 6 weeks, I think. Now, you may ask yourselves, I might think that because I'm a curious person. I don't know if you really ask questions like this or not. You might ask yourself, what do you talk about when you're driving around 71 and 270 trying to get to Thangmeister to somebody who you've loved and respected and cared for and you know is not going to be with you much longer and you know is going to do something that deep down he really doesn't want to do anyway? What kind of conversations do you have? Well, I can tell you that one week we were making that trip and Jim Van Bremmer explained to me how air conditioning works. Now, you're thinking, what? How would that come up? Jim was a person who was immensely interested in how things worked. And he actually was responding to a question that I had asked based on a question that he had asked. But that wasn't the only conversation we had, because we had other opportunities, and Jim Van Bremmer was the kind of person that you could ask questions of. And I wanted to know what it was like to be facing what he was facing. Wanted to know, where did he come by his sense of peace and acceptance? He never railed against the injustice of it. Jim Van Bremmer and all of you, most of you have known him way longer than I have. I don't think I ever heard him complain about anything in life. I don't think I ever heard him complain about anything. And the same was true when he faced death. Now, I do not believe that there is anything about life as we know it, the way that life is structured in the world that we live in, that without a profound sense of faith and trust in God, that you could have that kind of peace. I don't know what it would be like to look at what, and there's not a one of us who didn't say at one time or the other, of all the people that you thought might deserve to be here longer, that God might favor with sound health, that Jim Van Bremmer would be in that list. But he never questioned that at all. It's just, this is the way life unfolded for him, and his witness of calm peace stayed with him right till the very end. And all of us, and we were privileged to be able to get to know him, and I will always remember the last year that we Christmas carol that Jim was with us. We all went and we sang carols as we always did, and Jim would not let us ever get out of the house without singing what? Rudolph the Blue-Nosed Reindeer, a song that he had written. And in that year, and it had not happened any other year, we had most of the young people of the church were there, and every one of them went over and gave Mr. Van Bremmer a hug. Every one of them. From the least of them, who really couldn't have known exactly what was going on. And to me, it was a holy moment. A holy moment of recognizing what we can be for each other. But you see, there are all kinds of other things that can steal our peace if we allow them. We can allow petty disagreements to grow to the point to where we avoid one another. And we don't speak to one another. We don't care for one another. Jesus says to us that our relationships with God as motivated by the Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit who comes, allows us to deal with life the way it is. Make no mistake about it. There will be places in life that you will be wrong. And it would be wrong to ignore that fact. But even when you're wrong, Jesus says, forgive. Even when you're wrong, Jesus says, to try to pray for the other person. And that's where we kind of break down, because sometimes we think we have to go immediately from wrong to right. And sometimes that's a long and winding journey. And unless the other person is journeying in that same direction, we may never get there. But it doesn't mean we give up on that. And so when we think about the peace that He gives us, He's saying, I'm going away, but I'm leaving. And this is it's difficult for us to grasp sometimes, because this new advocate, this new helper, is not a visible advocate. The disciples could go to Jesus. They could ask Him questions. They could know of a certainty the answer that He gave. As Soren Kierkegaard says, when God speaks to us now, He speaks to us in our own voice. And we are ever capable of deceiving ourselves and telling ourselves simply what we want to hear rather than what God is trying to tell us. So that's one of the reasons why God calls us together in the community of faith, that we might be able to bounce our ideas off of one another, that we might be able to go to the Scriptures and say, has God said, has God given us an answer to the things that we are? And we are also called to be a people who walk alongside others who are in pain. On any given Sunday morning, I don't really have much of an idea, unless somebody's called and told me during the week. I don't have much of an idea of what kind of week you've had. I know what kind of week I've had. I know the kind of issues that I bring in my own spirit to every time that we gather together as a community of faith. We don't much like to talk about what's wrong in life. We like to talk about what's right, but we don't like to talk much about what's wrong in life. But simply by coming together and sitting next to one another, we are sending a message that we want to walk together in whatever life sends our way. And again, to go back to Jim Van Bremer, can you think of very many other people? Now, there have been others, but you can't think of a whole lot who have not given more to a community. Who's not given more to a community? And Jim gave it in many, many different ways. And Jim actually gave me permission before he died to tell this story. And his funeral went on so long I didn't get to tell at that time. Because it has to do with giving and being at peace and caring about the community. There was a time when the church had financial difficulty. Those of you who've been here for a long time know that those times sometimes lasted a long time. And there was one time when they were not able to pay their bills. And I've talked to Bertha about this as well. And Jim told Bertha that he was going to go to the bank and borrow $1,000 to give to the church so they could pay their bills. And Bertha told me, she said, how are we ever going to pay that back? And Jim said, I don't know, but this is what God is calling me to do. And so he did, and he never told me how to pay it back, but he said it was not a problem for him. Probably weren't three people in the whole church that he had known that if he had not been willing to do that, if he had not cared enough to do that, who knows what might have happened to the church. But that is just one little bitty piece of the contributions that he made. Because the contributions he made was giving of himself to those who were around him. And many of you could remember stories of that. And Jim was a person who never stopped growing. You see, sometimes at Christmas, we get so caught up in gifts and the glamour and the glitz of Christmas that we forget that in its very basic place, God looked at a very troubled world that was not filled with any kind of peace and joy and love and hope. And He says, I'm going to come and dwell in the midst of my people so that I might show them how much I love them. And so that I might show them that in the face of the the most dire thing they can have, which is non-being, not being anymore, not being alive, not having anything of life, to show them that I am the God of life. That's the Christmas gift that we get. And that's what we are called to share with others. The cynics in the world today, and there are many of them, will tell us that it is unrealistic to hope for peace. It's unrealistic to hope that we can get along with one another. Indeed, there's a famous painting called The Peaceable Kingdom, in which the lion lays down beside the lamb. And the cynics in the world today would say, two may lay down together, but only one will get up. But the Scripture tells us, from Isaiah through Jesus, that even those who are enemies might one day lie down together, because God is moving us to the direction of a peaceable kingdom. Now, His efforts in that direction led to what we will celebrate, the crucifixion, that God gave His very life so that we might know that God loves us, and that if we open our hearts to Him, He will send the Comforter, the Advocate, to remind us as a guarantee or as a down payment. Two bags of M&Ms are not much of a guarantee that you'll get an M&M thank you offering next year. But because we know something of history, we believe it will be. The Scripture says that God gives us the Spirit as earnest money, as a down payment on the promise for life eternal. Who could ask for anything more? Let us pray. Lord, as we've come into Your presence today, we acknowledge that sometimes the hostilities and the anger and the hatred that seem to still rule in the world today will carry the day. Help us to remember that the pages of history unfold growing relationships between former enemies. And every time they started with people who recognized that their previous enemies were not other, but they were a part of the same family. Help us to love one another. Help us to share that love with others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our communion hymn today is number 104, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. As we come to the Lord's table, we extend the invitation to you that we believe God has given to us, that all who name the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome.